Hi all, and welcome to the Grieving Back to Life podcast. This is a place where we will talk and share stories around grieving, receiving, growth, and turning your pain into peace. I am your host, Lauren Cheek, and like many of you, I have experienced my fair share of loss and grieving. It's been hard to process and transition, but what I've learned through this is that a lot of us have this unprocessed pain inside, but don't feel like we can talk about it, or maybe don't know how to process it. My goal here is to help hold space for people and normalize these conversations around grief. I'll be sharing tools, resources, and insights from all kinds of different experts, as well as everyday amazing humans who have gone through the battle of grief and have been able to turn their pain into peace and purpose. So let's dive in and help each other through the process of grieving back to life. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I am excited to be back recording and honored to have not only one of my best friends, but somebody who truly inspires me, and her story really is powerful. And so I'm really honored to have Chandelle Love on today, who is not only, like I mentioned, my bestie, but she's also an amazing actress, writer, mother, and also has an amazing perfume line. So thank you, Chandelle, so much for coming on today. I'm really, really looking forward to diving into your story, and just your grace through telling it is so inspiring alone, and your vulnerability is, it's infectious. It's just so powerful. I'm so grateful for you coming on and sharing today.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to share my stories. I've experienced grief in multiple ways. I feel like sometimes the common stigma behind grieving is that someone has to be passed away to grieve them. Yeah. But I feel like we grieve relationships, we grieve friendships, we grieve people that we lose in multiple ways.
Yes.
One of the biggest grievances of my life would probably be my grandfather. He was like the rock of my family, and we definitely had a special relationship. Like I was his little grandbaby, and we would go to his house for 4th of July parties, and he threw the best parties. So every year, especially around summertime, 4th of July, like I always think of him. I always think of his parties. I always think of his big infectious smile and how he would invite so many people to his parties, how he didn't care, you know, what their status was, if they were just walking by in the neighborhood. He was just this huge vessel of love.
Wow. And his legacy, legacy of like what he left behind.
Yeah. So when he passed, he actually passed from suicide. He was with the same woman for a majority of his life. And, he did have a drinking problem. And I think that she got tired of it. She got tired of the drinking. She got tired of the parties. Yeah. I mean, at this point, he's in his 70s, you know, still throwing these parties. And she decided that she wanted to leave him. She didn't want to spend the rest of her life in that same situation. And my grandfather, being the man that he was with this huge capacity of love and passion, obviously didn't want to see her go, has not been with any other woman but her for majority of years. They were married for over 2 decades.
Yeah.
And she was staying with her sister. And he, I think, out of heartache, out of his own grieving of losing her, went to try and get her back, and was under the influence of alcohol, and she threatened to call the cops on him. She's like, Ernie is his name. Ernie, you know, go home. You've been drinking too much. If you don't go home, I'm going to call the cops. And actually had a shotgun with him.
Oh my gosh.
And she was on the second story of her sister's building that she was staying at in between leaving him and finding a new place. And she just told him, look, I'm going to call the cops. And he told her, if you don't come home, you know, I can't live without you. I cannot live without you. I love you. You are the love of my life. You've been the love of my life for so long. You know, I don't want to live without you. And she, you know, made it a point that she was going to call the cops, and she worried for his wellness, that he's not in the right mental state. She calls the cops. The cops come. They see that he has a shotgun, and they basically tell him, you know, if you don't put the gun down, we're gonna shoot. And he took the gun and put it up to his chin.
Ugh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay.
And he shot himself. And at the funeral, everyone was so angry
Yeah.
at her because they blamed her, you know. And we're all grieving him, and she's grieving him too. And not
Right.
only is she grieving the loss of him as a romantic partner, but now she's grieving the loss of him as a human being in his
Right.
entirety.
Right.
And yeah, I think that I look at his situation and I just feel like he died of a broken heart. And yes, mental illness is a big factor. And yes, substance abuse or usage is also another factor, but we can't measure the amount of love that we hold in our hearts and the amount of pain that we have in our heart when
Yeah.
someone has left us.
Yes. Yes, 100%. And I think that there's no like right or wrong way to process that. And I think that was kind of my intention of starting this podcast was to be able to shed light on just different stories, but also resources and tools that people can use when they're going through such a dark time and when they feel like they're lost, they feel like they're grieving somebody, whether they're past or they're still here. Because I think something that we've talked about a lot is grieving relationships and grieving people that are still here. And I think that that's a huge part of it is being able to process those emotions and to not let them get the better of you. And it's so sad, and I'm so sorry for your loss of like hearing this story, because honestly, we've never talked about it.
Well, that's,
And
yeah.
I'm glad that we are now, because I think that it's important to share. And I think that, well, first of all, I just want to applaud you for your vulnerability and your bravery of sharing it. But I think that it's important to be able to have these conversations that are vulnerable and raw and real. And that we're able to talk about it, because so many people experience this and so many people go through this kind of loss and grieving. And I think that there's not a lot of conversation around it. There's not a lot of space held for the people that have experienced it and it, gone through it. And so I just want to say, like, I'm here for you, and I appreciate you sharing and being vulnerable enough and brave enough to speak it and to talk about it.
Thank you. I appreciate that and I received that. I mean, he passed over 10, 15 years ago, but there's not a 4th of July or even a Father's Day because he was my father's father. That passes that I don't think about him and that, you know, I don't think about his pain and what he was going through and how I wish that he was still here.
Of course, yeah.
You know, one thing that made me want to talk about this is because, like you said, we don't talk about these things enough.
Yeah.
I feel like I was just telling a different friend of mine who has a podcast as well that, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't talk about mental health the way that we talk about it today and how
Right.
there's such a huge community supporting people having support and health and help to just get through life and not just get through but to thrive in life with
Yeah.
whatever they're going through. And I just hope that through like your podcasts and other people taking that initiative
to talk about mourning and grieving that
the
10
hard
years from now,
things, yeah,
you know, this will be a more like common topic that we can talk about, because that's the only way that we're really gonna heal is if we like process and we connect with other people who have gone through that. And I feel like we have, especially like it's hard for me to even talk to my dad about it. And it was his father. And my brother was born the same year my grandfather passed and never got to meet my little brother. It's just my dad's only son. And my dad to this day is still so angry that, you know, my grandfather did that, and, you know, kind of like blames him. I think that when someone chooses to take their own life, whatever the reasons are, like, we just really can't process the place that they were in.
Yeah.
And we think about ourselves. That was so selfish of them to take them away from us.
Me, right? That I have to deal with this now, and versus like what the pain they were going through.
Or they should have been stronger, or or something like that. But it's like the same way that you can't measure love and people's capacity to love, you can't measure pain and people's capacity to have that pain and feel that pain.
Right. Well, and that everyone experiences at such different levels and at different experiences of their life. And I think especially with a relationship and a partnership, it's so difficult.
Yeah. And I think that's something else that should be kind of brought up, is the fact that sometimes we can feel guilt.
Yeah.
We feel like, I experience guilt myself, even though I was in my teens when this happened and now I'm, you know, in my 30s. It's like, looking back, I think, oh, well, you know, maybe I could have said something, or maybe if I lived closer to him, or maybe if I visited more, or maybe if I picked up the phone and called him more. I mean, he called my dad like the same week that this happened, and my dad was working and couldn't take his call. And to this day, my dad feels guilt about that. Maybe if he took that call and connected with him to find out what he was going through, he could have flew him out, just removed him from the situation, and maybe things would have ended differently. But I feel like you just can't play that game. You can't think about, you know, what could have been
the
different.
What ifs.
You have to kind of accept and surrender that, you know, this person and their physicality is no longer here. And hold on to like the love that you have for them and the good memories that you have for them. And what gets me through is I truly believe that he's free. He's free
of pain.
The pain. And I believe that, you know, he is still here and he'll always be with me. And he, you know, his legacy and his love and the memories, those will never die.
They live on with you and his loved ones. And I think that that's such a beautiful metaphor of how we carry forward with our loved ones that we lose, is that their light doesn't die. It carries on with us, and that we just continue to feel brighter and be able to light up other people, that we're these torch carriers and we're able to light other torches. Such a difficult situation to go through, and for you to feel that guilt, I think, is something that it's almost a point where you have to be able to unpack it and get to that transmutational forgiveness. And that's what I've kind of come to find. I'm no expert. I don't know everything. But what I've learned talking with so many people about this is that it all kind of comes back to love and forgiveness, and being able to come back to those, that light and those memories of like the good times that you shared with that person and all of the experiences you had with them, and being able to forgive them and forgive yourself, I think, is a huge part of it too, because we want to carry that blame and that guilt and those things that, like, I wish I could have done something different. It all happens the way it does. And it's almost divine timing, to where you learn later of like, oh, I needed to learn this lesson. I needed to go through this. This was the hardest point of my life, but it taught me so much. And I think that grief and losing somebody you love, like, really pushes you to your boundary and then over it, yeah, where you didn't even think you could survive that.
Yeah. You know that I like to go to church and that I'm a huge believer in God. And one of the things that they talked about recently, very recent, is mourning. And they basically said that when we mourn, that is our evidence of love.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is so true and it's so beautifully put. However, there is a thin, fine line between, okay, I'm mourning this person and I love them, but of getting caught in that place,
yeah,
and wanting to stay there, and yeah, maybe feeling like if I move on, if I'm happy, if I don't think about them, then that's evidence that I didn't love them or I don't love them.
Right.
And that's, I think that's the part that we need to focus
the
on.
False is narrative.
That is, it's a false narrative. And that's not what that person would want.
Of course. Yes.
They don't want you to be in pain over their pain. They just, in some capacity, it was
they
their
want
time.
Love. They want love. They want you to be happy. They want you to move forward. They want you to be in your best, highest self. And I think that's where the forgiveness comes of, there's so, I mean, in any capacity of death and grieving, and no matter what situation it is, I think there's always some level of guilt and some level that we somehow as humans turn it back on us,
yeah,
and say, well, somehow that was my fault and somehow that had something to do with
me. It
makes
us feel more in control.
Maybe,
if we
yeah,
can point the finger
right
at somebody or
even
something,
if it's us,
even if it's ourselves,
right,
then we could be like, okay, well, now we know. Yeah.
But really, the truth is that everyone has their own sovereign identity of who they are as an individual soul on this planet. And I believe that we all have our journey almost predestined, in a sense of, like, we pick our family, we pick our parents, we pick the people that are around us in order to teach us the lessons that we are meant to learn. And I believe that, and this is just a personal belief, I'm not putting this on anyone, but what I believe is that we go through these experiences in order to learn, to get to the point that we need to become the person we're meant to be.
Your soul's growth.
Your soul's journey.
Yes, the journey and ascension.
Of course, ascension. I love that you said that word.
The point, or part of the point of this podcast, is like, once we start realizing that, like, it is going to be okay. Yes, you may have lost that lover. Yes, it may have been a breakup. Yes, you may have lost that family member. They may have passed away. Maybe, you know, it was someone like in your closest, you know, like your mother or your father. But at the end of the day, like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And you have to know that. And you have to believe that. And you have to know that that's what they want for you.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because sometimes it's a reminder for me too. It is. You're right. And it is. It's going to get to the other side, and you are going to be okay. And I think sometimes you get so wrapped up in the, I guess I'll say, darkness of it, of like, there's a lot of like heaviness and emotions, and I would say waves of emotions that come with it, of losing somebody you love, and being able to process that in a healthy way is so difficult. And hence the reason why I wanted to start more vulnerable conversations like this, because when I went through it, I felt like I was so blindsided and I had like no real resources, and yeah, angry, and all these different emotions that just came over me like waves. And sometimes you feel like it's not going to be okay, but like, you know, yes, eventually it will, but going through it, you're like, it's not okay. It's not okay right now.
It's not okay. And how will I ever be okay without this person?
Right.
I totally agree with you. And I feel like there is like a processing, like, wheel, like, you know, the accepting and then forgiving, like, and
the
then
grievance
the
process.
And you can't skip those steps.
Right.
You know, you can't rush the process. And I think people need to take as long as they need. And sometimes you may never be healed. I mean, as human beings on our soul journey to ascension, you know, what is being fully healed? I feel like that means that we have no more work to do. We're always going to have work to do.
Of
We're
course.
Always going to have
that's our journey. Yeah.
Death is the one thing that is guaranteed.
Certain. 100%. Yeah.
From birth. So it's like,
and the fact that we don't talk about it, and the fact that we almost deny it in a sense of like, as a culture, I guess we almost like, I don't say like deny it in a way of like, we don't think we're going to die, but deny it in the way that like, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think it's going to happen. We definitely don't want to think it's going to happen the next day.
No.
And the truth is that it can. You can go to sleep tonight and not wake up tomorrow. Yeah. And I think a huge thing that I've been asking myself since all of this has happened, and real legacy is like how you impact people and how you feel at the end of the day of like, am I going to sleep at night? And if I were to not wake up tomorrow, would I be satisfied? Would I be satiated with like the life that I lived? And always
the people that I've touched and the way that I've treated them and loved them.
Yes. And I always try to answer that with a yes, because I feel like even if you're young, like it doesn't matter your age. I think that we all have to do our best to take advantage of the time we have. And I think it all goes back to living with intention. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of times, myself 100% included, that like we just function through and we don't really process exactly where the days are going.
Autopilot. We're on our routine.
Yes.
Trying to do like the day to day. Okay, I got to pay my rent. I got my power bills due on the 15th.
Stress over. And when you make it your whole world, because I've seen so many people go through hard times and they make it their whole world to where they don't have any other focus but what their struggle is. And I think to be able to pull yourself out of it, even if you are going through the hardest time, to be able to say, okay, this is the light, this is the direction, this is what my purpose is, this is what makes me even happy. And people don't take the time to stop and even think about that. And that's why I always say that there's power in the pause and being able to stop and reflect and really have that time to be able to come back to yourself and really say, okay, I need to make deposits into my life cup. I need to do things that are making me happy. I need to really, you know, spend time with the people I love. I need to be able to like
spread your light,
spread the light, but also like have like journaling, meditation, processing time to deal with.
I think that's the grieving.
100%.
You cannot neglect yourself. Ever, mm-hmm. Especially when you're mourning, especially when you're hurting.
Anytime you're going through trauma,
you need more self-care.
More, yes.
You need like 100%. To amp it up. I feel like we've talked about the reality of the universe and the black hole and how there is.
Please share that, because I honestly was really touched. Okay, so Chantel and I had an amazing conversation the other night, and it was so random, like, because I was like coming home late night and we were just on the phone for like an hour.
We were.
And like, it was just so random, but I love those kind of conversations because they're the best. And you shared something that was so profound. I would love for you to share that story because it really touched me. And I just feel like the way you share it is so beautiful from your perspective. So I would love for you to talk about it.
I feel like it makes sense for this topic, and everything is connected.
Mm-hmm.
And
we are all connected.
We are all connected. Everything's connected. And the reason that that conversation was sparked is because a friend of mine was going through depression and asked me, you know, she said she's struggling with finding her purpose and just feeling like, what is the point? You know, kind of like what we're saying, what is the point? If I just lost someone I love,
it's so easy to go to those questions. Myself. Yeah.
I'm just pain.
What
bills.
Am I going to do?
I'm just working.
Why am I here?
And struggling. All these
things.
Mm-hmm. And for what?
Right.
And I had to give her like my perspective of what I've learned in my journey. And I was saying that at the Griffith Observatory, there's actually a show that they have that talks about, you know, the universe. And if you look at the periodic table,
every component and element that makes up the stars in the sky, we have the same exact makeup and chemicals from the periodic chart. And so essentially, we are stars. We are literally made up of the same chemical makeup. And I saw the show that they have there that talks about the universe and the black hole, and how we are on the universe is in a continuous fight, because the black hole is just this dark, dark, dark place in the universe that will literally suck up and swallow with force anything in its surrounding area. And stars, galaxies, universes will be sucked up in this black hole. And eventually, if the darkness wins, it will be the end of our universe and of everything that we know. And so when my friend asked me, you know, have you ever experienced depression? And I said, honestly, yes, I have. It is a darkness. It is something mm-hmm. that you can get sucked up in and mm-hmm. lose yourself and lose your life. But the thing that keeps me going is remembering that our only purpose is to shine our light. We are all stars. We are all shining. We are all beaming at our own brightness. We are all ever expanding. And that is our purpose. Continue yes. to expand, continue and to
spread
shine
the light.
And spread the light. And when you feel like you've lost your purpose or you don't know what you're doing here, just spread your light. And that little glimmer of light and sparkle, you have no idea how that shines and expands our universe yes. and touches people
yes.
and expands their life and changes their life.
Yes.
So that's it. And if we collectively, human by human, star by star, continue to shed our light, even in the darkest of times, then not only will we be living our purpose, but we'll continue to fight the fight against this darkness and hole that we're in a fight for.
Yes. Ugh. God, so powerful. And I think that there's so much to take from that. And I think if you don't know how to start shining your light, I think the easiest way is to reach out and help somebody else. And I think if you yeah. feel like you're in the darkness and you don't know how to spark even your own light, you're so lost, you feel so down, help somebody.
Yeah.
Give somebody even a compliment. Like, start being kind to
people.
There's
no small act.
There's no small act. Yes. Yeah. And I think that is so powerful, to be able to start to spread your own light in whatever way feels comfortable for you, whether that's smiling at a stranger, opening a door for somebody, or all the way up to, like, you know, helping somebody out of a situation, being there for somebody, listening to a friend. There's so many different ways that you can show up and be there for somebody and really shine light into the darkness. And
I also think that when you are focused on shining that light, making the world a better place, not only does it help you get out of that dark space that mm-hmm. you're in, but it almost like catapults you out on morning that you're
focus
really
on
doing
someone
something
else
bigger.
Yes.
100%. That's going to help the world. So I feel like that is the biggest keynote that I would say, like, if there was anything I would want anyone to take away from this podcast and this talk that we're having today, is basically, like, mourn as long as you need, love as deep as you want, be mm-hmm. angry, go through your emotions, do it all, but just don't forget that you're a light and that you have a purpose
mm-hmm.
and that mm-hmm. is bigger than anything, that collectively we need you. We
yes.
need you.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Period.
Period. Yes. Oh, God. That it like gives my whole body chills, because I think that is some wisdom that needs to be speaking into every single soul, because we almost forget and we almost get to this. I can speak from experience that, like, when you lose somebody you love, you go to such a dark place, and it's so almost instinctive
it's
and
natural.
Natural to go to, you know, all the negative questions of, like, why did this happen? Why me? Why now? All these negative, difficult, dark questions that just only suck you deeper down a hole. And the farther down the hole you go, the harder it is to climb out. And I think the best way to be able to kind of process it and get through it is to A, sit with it. Like sit with it, process it. And for me, it's really helped journaling. Like I've been doing voice notes because D would always leave me voice notes. And so for me, I've been leaving voice notes and I've been almost talking to him. I've been journaling a lot too. And so for me personally, that's helped a lot of being able to feel like I can still speak with him and feel like he still hears me. And I know even just like speaking a prayer and like even the thoughts in my head, like I feel like he hears it and understands it. Sometimes I almost feel like deeper connection to him. It's almost like he's there with me in a sense.
He's always with you now.
Right.
Versus
right.
when we're confined to this physical
right,
body.
Right.
We can only physically be with you. And maybe, you know, one way of looking at it, when my previous partner lost his father, he was so angry, so mad and so sad, so confused and just didn't know how to get through the situation. And I told him the same thing that you're doing. Still have those conversations.
Yeah.
He's still here. Well, this universe is, it's energy and energy cannot be destroyed.
Right.
You know,
it just gets changed.
He's just no longer in this form.
Right.
But he's still here. Still have those conversations.
Yeah.
And he started seeing orange monarch butterflies everywhere. He actually wound up getting a tattoo of a butterfly. He's like, it's my dad. It's my dad. And nothing could tell him different. And I believe that it was him.
Yeah.
And it is him. Like just so fully expanded and not confined to that physical body anymore.
I feel like we get signs. I've experienced it so many times for myself, but then also with so many different people that I love and I'm around.
It's not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence at all. And for me, like D shows up in hummingbirds. And right after he passed on his birthday, I got these hummingbird feeders right outside my apartment on my balcony. And it's interesting because it's almost like when I go through these periods of feeling in the dark and feeling like I need to almost sit with it and process it, I go through this darkness and then I start to come to the other side of really journaling it and talking about it, letting
well,
it out.
Your exercising of the journal is like purging these.
It is.
Dark
it's
thoughts
almost like it is. Yeah.
So that you can be that light and you can feel that connection with,
yeah.
you know, if you're blocked with anger, animosity, guilt,
mm-hmm.
you know, all these negative dark feelings, and you're just stuck in that place.
Mm-hmm.
How are you supposed to connect with them? They
yeah.
want to still connect with
right.
you.
You don't see it. You're just blocked. You're right. You're so right. You're so, so right. And I think I was blocked for a while. And, you know, the first year of going through this has been so fucking hard. And
now you're here making a podcast.
I am. And it's not to say that I've like gone through it and I've figured it out, but I haven't.
No.
And that I'm still processing and grieving and going through all these things. But my intention with this is to be able to just shed light and to open and hold space for people that have also gone through it, because the only thing in life that is certain is death. And I think that
and
the fact that we don't talk
about
it,
like
that,
how different would life be if we knew when people were going to pass?
I know.
And we knew when we were going to pass.
I know.
One thing my brother said to me that, and he's 10 years younger than me. I was joking with him one day and I'm like, you know, you only live once. And he's like, no, you only die once. You live every day. I think everything is essential. And I just love the evolution of everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, we didn't have the tools that we had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago. Humans are evolving. And this podcast, for example, is living proof of our evolution. And sharing this topic, you know, I like I said previously, like 10 years from now, there's going to be a different topic that we're shedding light on and that people are shedding light on because we've evolved even more.
Yeah.
And it's from these steps. It's from someone and these things happening and these pain that we turn into beauty and evolution for
for us to continue to expand.
Yeah. And I think that the more we openly share about it and the more we talk about it, the more everyone feels that they can relate and that they are alone. It reminds me so much of mental health, like 10 years prior and like beyond, because I feel like mental health was such a topic that was like not talked about.
Taboo almost.
Taboo, yes. Right? Like depression, anxiety, like all these things. People were just like, oh, deal with it, stuff it down, like you're fine, everything's good.
Or
like,
if you have problems, you need serious help, and let's not tell anyone because this is...
Are just feeling a little too much, a little uneasy, a little rattled.
Right. And I think prior they didn't know how to handle it. And I think just now people are starting to openly talk about, openly share, and it's starting to become more of a mainstream topic. Whereas I feel like death is something that we've always lived with. It's always been there.
Yeah.
It's always been something that will hit you in some capacity in some way at some point in your life. It's guaranteed. Oh, yeah. But if we all have the tools and at least more of an open forum of how we can talk about it, I think it helps process and deal with it.
So, Chandel, thank you so much again for coming on today and sharing your story and really being a part of this movement and of helping normalize these conversations. And we will see everyone back here next week. Bye. That's another episode of Grieving Back to Life podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow for more, and tune in every Sunday for new episodes. Follow us on Instagram, Grieving Back to Life, or check out our website, grievingbacktolifepodcast.com. for resources and more tips and tools for helping you grieve with grace and turn your pain into peace and purpose. See you then.